Rows of film studios ripple in golden light. Warner Brothers Pictures Shield logo. A Time Warner Entertainment Company. The screen goes black. White letters on the black background. Kennedy Miller presents. Bold red letters drift across the screen to form the title. Dead Calm. In white lettering, Sam Neill. Nicole Kidman. Billy Zane. Casting, Liz Molinar, Wally Nikita. Production manager, Narelle Barsby. Costume designer, Norma Morisseau. Production designer, Graham Grace Walker. Director of photography, Dean Semler, ACS. Editor, Richard Francis Bruce. Original music, Graham Revel. Screenplay, Terry Hayes. Producers, Terry Hayes, Doug Mitchell, George Miller. Director, Philip Noyce. An image emerges of train carriages passing in the night. Sailors in uniform look out of a window eagerly. The carriage is packed with other sailors as the train draws into a station. An officer, Captain John Ingram, stands in an open train doorway as it comes to a halt. He has strong, angular features and is carrying white boxes under one arm. He looks about as he steps down off the train.
Merry Christmas, Captain Ingram!
Merry Christmas, Ellen.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Ingram walks a little way among hordes of sailors who jostle along the platform, lugging their kit bags over their shoulders. Some beam as they greet women and hug them. Ingram, smart in his white officer's peaked cap and dark uniform, stops and scans the crowd again. Ingram looks about at his men's smiling faces as they greet their wives and girlfriends. Looking somber, he searches the sea of faces again. Couples chatter merrily as they walk. A man and woman play guitar and sing on the station concourse. Looking increasingly agitated, Ingram checks his watch. Ingram watches a tall, elegant redhead momentarily. Two Australian cops walk along the concourse. One spots Ingram, nudges his pal, and points to Ingram, who notices them staring at him. Ingram blinks and stares back. His brow is furrowed and he looks perplexed. Ingram, who's tall and slender, walks over to the cops. He talks with them. Ingram, minus his officer's cap, sits somberly in the back of a car which travels through the night. Rain sluices down the rear window, and a flashing blue light strobes across Ingram's face. In a hospital, Ingram and a doctor walk down a corridor.
Police told you about the child.
Yes, they did.
I'm very sorry, but we'll need a formal identification.
Yes, of course.
I have to warn you. Most of the injuries were to the face, I'm afraid.
Police said that my son died on impact, is that correct?
Not quite. Just after the ambulance arrived.
And how long was that?
He was unconscious, Captain. He wouldn't have been aware of any pain.
How long, Doctor?
20 minutes.
They enter a resuscitation unit. Curtains are pulled round a bed.
She'll need an open CT scan.
An unconscious woman is tended.
Cerebral response.
It's her husband.
Ingram watches his wife. The other doctor turns to him.
I want you to talk to her.
Her head is bandaged, and there's dry blood on her face.
Ray, it's John.
The doctor pulls open her eyes and shines a light in them.
Try it again.
Ray, it's me. It's John, Ray.
Her eyes stare out as the doctor holds them open. Images of a car travelling through a wet night. It passes a sign for the railway station. Ray, who has long curly red hair, sings as she drives.
Dincy wincy spider rolled up the spout again.
That's a funny one.
Will you try it with Mummy now?
No.
Oh, come on. Dincy wincy spider rolled up the water
spout.
Down came the rain and washed poor Wincy out.
The little boy's in the back.
Out came the sunshine.
He undoes his seatbelt to reach for the cuddly toy he's dropped.
Danny, Danny, come on, Danny, get back in your seat.
Distracted briefly, she bashes into a car. She's knocked into the path of another car. Danny sails through the front window, head first. On a yacht, John Ingram runs to Ray. He holds her closely.
I was holding
him. I know, I know.
John, I could smell his hair.
Stop.
No, I can't. I'm so scared.
He's gone. He's gone, baby. We can never get him back. Hey, it's gonna take a long time. That they want us.
Let's go home. Please.
It'd be worse.
I don't think I can get rid of it.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Don't say that. Now look. We've got weeks and weeks. Calm days, calm seas. And we're gonna get strong. And when you're strong, then we'll go. Start again, won't we, Ray? Say it, Ray, won't we? Say it, Ray, won't we?
Ray nods and John rests his forehead against hers. John then holds Ray tightly to his chest. A bloom of perspiration covers her face. John rests his chin on her head and closes his eyes briefly. The boat rocks gently from side to side as he stands holding her. The yacht is silhouetted against a dawn sky shot with pinky gold and purple. The dog stands on the deck of the yacht wagging its tail as it barks.
What's wrong, Ben?
John, wearing white flannels and a blue shirt, walks along the deck to Ben, then looks out over the water to the pinky gold horizon. His intense blue eyes slowly search across the calm, dark sea.
Come in.
Ben, a black wire-haired terrier cross, follows John. Below deck, Ray shakes capsules from a bottle. John approaches her and takes the capsules from her hand.
What was it?
It's nothing, just the dawn.
Is there any wind?
Not a whisper.
He puts the capsules back in the bottle and kisses Ray gently. He smiles and moves away. Ray glances at the bottle, which has sedatives and caution typed on the label. Ray's head surfaces from the sea. Closing her eyes briefly, she turns her face up to the sun. Her legs and arms move in the clear, greeny-blue water to keep her afloat. John comes up on deck holding a cup and watches her fixedly. He smiles gently as she basks in the water. Sun glints off the water as Ray smiles back at John. She swims to the yacht and takes his offered hand to help her up the ladder onto the yacht.
So, what day is it today?
I don't know, Thursday, Friday. One of those days with an irony.
He looks out at a boat on the horizon.
Oh, look at that. First boat in 3 weeks.
John looks at it through binoculars.
She's been through some weather, that's for sure.
Is there anybody on deck?
Not that I can see. I'll call him up.
Oh, do you have to? I like it like this. Just the two of us.
So do I.
He nuzzles her.
But look at her, Ray. That boat's in trouble.
Ray, who has a towel around her neck, watches John and smiles as he heads off below deck and goes to a control area. He sits down and presses buttons. On a screen, a message reads, Sentinel Aquasat, radar warming up. John unhooks a handset from a wall.
Black schooner to my east, black schooner to my east. This is Yacht Saracen, Victor Kilo, 2762, position 1616 south, 17647 west. Do you read me? Over.
Ray looks through binoculars at the schooner, which is afloat in a silver sea. John awaits a response. He returns the handset to its hook and makes a note in a log. Sighted, black schooner. A small white square is in the inner circle of John's radar screen. Ray continues watching the schooner through binoculars. John makes a note of the schooner's position and writes, Name unknown.
John?
Their white yacht bobs gently in the water.
John!
Whoa.
I thought I saw something between here and the boat.
What is it, a turtle?
No, it's bigger.
John takes the binoculars and looks through them.
See anything?
Not yet, hold on. There it is. It's a dinghy.
Adrift.
No, there's a man in it.
The man's rowing towards their yacht. John looks out at the dinghy. Ben the dog is sitting on the cabin roof. Ray is steering the yacht. Standing in bright sunshine, John turns and motions for Ray to cut the engine. The man, who's bare-chested and wears a straw hat, rows hurriedly towards them. His back is to John and Ray as he approaches the side of the yacht.
Say that we'll drop down to you! Heavy ship, your oars!
Get the fender down.
The young man continues rowing.
Stand off!
He crashes into the side of the yacht and hurriedly scrambles on board the Saracen. John helps him up.
Take it easy.
The young man's lithe body is tanned and there's a wild look in his eyes. He ignores John and Ray, glances back at the schooner and hurries below deck. John raises his eyebrows at Ray. The couple hesitate, then follow the man below deck. The man sits on the floor of the galley, huddled in a corner. He removes his hat and looks up at John and Ray as they approach him.
Give him some water, Danny. Not too much. There you are.
Thanks.
A cloth pack.
My name is Huey Warner.
John Ingram, my wife, Ray.
Hi.
32 days out, we're bound for Papeete. I'm heading for Fiji. I only bought her about 3 months ago.
My plan had been to cruise around the Pacific, to sail around the Pacific. I mean, who would have thought, right?
What's your trouble, Mr. Werner?
Trouble? She's going down. That's the trouble. She's not going to last the morning.
You sure?
Yeah, she opened up all over.
Has the water hit your engine?
My engine, radio, the fucking bulkhead, galleys, everything. My only chance was to try to reach you in the dinghy.
John lowers his eyes as he considers.
See what Mr. Warren needs, darling, and get him to bed.
Where are you going?
Well, I ought to get over there. How many people on board?
Nobody. I'm alone. I'm it.
You tried to take her across the Pacific. On your own?
No.
Warrener gets up, then sits on a bench seat.
There were 6 of us. The others died 10 days ago. One by one, all happened in a day.
Warrener, a swarthy, handsome man with full lips, undoes belongings tied up in the orange cloth and takes out a bunch of passports. He throws them down on the galley table. They're from varying countries. John looks subdued and approaches Warrener at the table.
What happened?
You ever thought about how life can hinge on the smallest thing? I mean, ever since I was a kid, I thought salmon was for cats.
Was it canned salmon?
Yeah.
John inspects the British passport of Russell Bellows.
At first we thought it was the tourist trots. Until Chantal looked at her hand and said Picasso should have painted it.
John's checked Chantal's passport.
It had 7 fingers.
Double vision, huh? Sounds like botulism.
What's that?
It's a lethal form of food poisoning. It hits the nervous system.
Yeah, well, I tried everything.
There's no treatment. Not in a small boat. There's not 1,200 miles from land.
Dark-haired Warrener sits staring away from them and blinking.
Well, when you're ready, Mr. Warrener.
Warrener stands up.
Better go and salvage your gear.
My gear? You're looking at it. There's nothing to salvage. Everything was ruined by the water.
There must be something.
Oh, give me a break, will you? I mean, you know what I had to do?
I can guess.
You can guess? They've been dead for days, man. You know what that does to a body, pal?
You've got to try and stop thinking about it.
I mean, I can't go back. All right? I can't go back there right now. Ever.
John lowers his eyes briefly and considers, then steps towards Warrener and looks directly at him.
That's all right, I understand. Why don't you go to bed and get as much sleep as you can?
Thank you.
Ray goes to usher a weary-looking Warrener away and looks back anxiously over her shoulder at John. Warrener turns back to him.
I'm really sorry to ruin your day, you know?
John looks through Warrener's belongings, which were wrapped in the orange cloth. There's a yacht log and photographs of a skimpily clad blonde posing for the camera, then some of Chantal and another brunette. Each of the women pose together. John looks through the log. There's a sketch of a demonic beast and the schooner heading into its fanged mouth. John turns a page and reads an entry. Blowing a gale. Everyone is pumping. Bellows, Russ, wants to film, but Huey won't let him. John reads another entry. Some of the words aren't shown. I wish I wasn't here. Are fighting. With each. No one is sleeping and... of all fresh food. Under a heading, engine or sail combination is written. No motor. He finds a newspaper clipping, Free South Sea Island Cruises. Ray returns.
You all right?
Yes. I'm fine.
You sure? Mm-hmm.
She hands him a cup, then begins to make their bed.
Some interesting stuff here. Listen to this. South Sea Island Cruise. Four young women wanted for photo assignment must be attractive and broad-minded.
You don't like him, do you?
I hadn't really thought about it.
John, imagine what he's been through.
Sorry, Ray, whichever way I turn it, I just can't swallow it.
Any reason?
Not really, just 25 years at sea.
He heads away. Warrener, his body shiny with sweat, lies sleeping. John opens the door of Warrener's cabin, looks in, then leaves. John bolts Warrener's door from the outside.
Shh. I'm going on board her.
Can't do that.
He's fast asleep. He won't even know.
He will. He'll hear the engine.
No, he won't. I'll take the dinghy. Load the gunner keeper with you.
Are you serious?
Well, just do as I say, please.
She stands close to him.
Okay.
They share a gentle, lingering kiss. A small hammock for belongings sways above Warrener with the motion of the yacht. He's still sleeping. John sets off in the dinghy.
Back soon.
Bye.
Ben paws at a narrow cupboard door. Ray smiles and goes to open it.
Wait a sec.
There's a shotgun and a ball inside.
Go on, take it.
Ben takes the tennis ball in his mouth. Ray stares down at the gun. Ray leaves the gun in the cupboard and shuts the door. John rows.
One, two, shh.
Ray plays ball with Ben. John looks back over his shoulder at the schooner as he nears the vessel.
Okay. Go!
Ben belly flops in after the ball.
Bring it back. Come on.
John rows up to the schooner, which has the name Orpheus on the stern, and Santa Barbara. John, who's wearing sunglasses, looks up at the masts and furled sails. Bright sunshine glints off the rigging. He climbs on board. There's a tangle of ropes on deck and oil drums. John looks about, then slowly walks along the sunny deck. John adjusts his trousers as he walks. There's a large sweat stain on the back of his blue shirt. A heavy piece of rigging swings towards him but misses him. He catches it as it swings back and steadies it, then proceeds along the deck. Warrener lies in his bunk, his dark eyes suddenly open. Warrener pulls back the sheet and slowly gets up. Wearing a brooding expression, he looks about. John goes below deck on the Orpheus. He's ankle deep in water, which has pans, books, tins, and various of the ship's contents floating around in it. John wades through. On the Saracen deck, Ben shakes himself dry. Ray comes up on deck. Ben scampers below deck. Reaching a door, he stands on his hind legs, presses down on the handle with his paw, and goes through into a corridor where Warrener's cabin is. Warrener tries to open his door. Ben stands outside Warrener's cabin, his ears cocked. On the Orpheus, John studies a dark-haired female statue with a red arrow pointing to its red encircled breasts. John grimaces as he sniffs the air, then wades over to a radio set. There's a blonde female statue in the background. John turns a knob, then taps the set. Ray's on the Saracen's deck.
Ray?
She looks up from reading.
Ray, I'm sick! I gotta use the bathroom! Ray, I'm nauseated, please! Ray! I really don't want to throw up in here! Ray!
Below deck, Ray considers, then turns away. She presses a button and the yacht's propeller turns. Warriner laughs grimly to himself, then leaps on his bunk.
Wow.
He sets about trying to open a hatch window above the bunk as Ray steers the Saracen towards the Orpheus. The window opens and Warriner's head appears. He sees they're heading for the Orpheus and clenches his teeth. On the Orpheus, John opens a door into a corridor and gapes. The water has a reddish hue. He walks ahead a little way, his eyes wide and staring at red water gushing from beneath a sturdy door. He rips open the door and a torrent of water gushes out, knocking him back through into the main cabin. Naked bodies of dead women float around. On the Saracen, Warriner tries to force the window open wider. Ray, sitting at the wheel of the Saracen, stands and looks out over the water to the Orpheus as the yacht approaches the vessel. Wearing a straw hat tied beneath her chin, she looks through the binoculars and sees John rowing frantically away from the Orpheus. Ray lowers the binoculars and looks alarmed. She goes to a lever and eases it down. Warriner still struggles with the window. John rows hard. Warriner tries to force the window off its rope hinges. Warriner breaks out through the window and heaves himself up onto the deck. Ray watches John through the binoculars. He's halfway back and sees Warriner heading for Ray. Warriner savagely pushes her aside, then takes the wheel. She reaches for the lever, but he shoves her away again. Warriner tries to adjust the lever, but Ray struggles with him. John rows faster. Ray fights with Warriner. John draws near the Saracen and sees Warriner punch Ray to the deck. John's almost alongside. He stands and jumps, missing the side of the yacht. Underwater, he groans as he twists his body out of the way of the propellers. He surfaces. He sees the Saracen sailing off.
Don't Ray, jump!
Ray slumped over the edge of the deck. John swims after the yacht.
Get off, Ray! Leave it!
Warriner, standing at the wheel, glances back impassively at John. John looks at his arm and winces. It's bleeding profusely. Beneath the water, his legs kick to keep him afloat. The blood drifts down and diffuses in the water. John stares after the departing yacht. John does the crawl back to the dinghy. He heaves himself on board. John collapses into the bottom of the dinghy and grasps his injured arm. The Saracen sails off into the distance. John is back on board the Orpheus. He grabs a pair of discarded binoculars and looks through them across the becalmed waters to the Saracen. John lowers the binoculars and stares ahead intently, his eyes narrowed against the bright light. He then goes to the wheel. There's a compass set in front of the wheel. John lays the side of his right hand on the dome of the compass and takes a bearing. He finds a pen and pad in an abandoned drawer nearby and makes a note of the bearing, 29 degrees. He checks his watch and notes down the time, 10:40. John then presses a button on a control panel. He flicks switches on the panel. The panel has the name Kelvin on it. John steps back from the panel and puts his hands to his face briefly. Shining a torch, he enters a dark room and wades through the ankle-deep water. John shines the torch about over the dark forms of machinery. John puts down the torch and grabs hold of a large lever. He pushes it back and forth. Water comes out of a pipe which juts out from the schooner. John continues working the pump. Ray's arm hangs over the side of the Saracen's deck. Her watch shows 4:45. A droplet of blood is on her lips. Her eyelashes flicker and she slowly regains consciousness. Ray winces as she feels her jaw. She wipes her lips with a finger and looks at the blood on it. Ray slowly raises her head and looks at the silver sea and the frothing wake at the stern of the yacht. She turns her head slightly and sees bright-eyed Ben staring down at her. She sits up and sees Warrener dancing to music. He's wearing Bermuda shorts and is bare-chested. He's unaware of her watching him. Ray considers for a moment, then hauls herself up a little by hanging onto a nearby rope. Her eyes rove in thought. She gets to her feet. Warrener, on the cabin roof, sees her but continues dancing.
Where's John?
Warrener dances a little more, then slows to a stop and leans back against the boom.
Now what?
John, my husband. Where is he?
He's gone.
She's ripped the wire from a cassette player.
What have you done to him?
Nothing. He went on board her.
We've got to go back.
Look, he's only got himself to blame, right? I mean, he should have trusted me. But that's always been my problem.
Don't you understand?
Please don't shout. As I was saying, that's always been one of my problems. I can never tell people's real motives.
Okay.
Too late.
Let's just turn the boat around.
Where shall we go?
Turn around!
Hey, look, you're being very aggressive, Ray. That could be a real problem on a small boat. I've seen it happen before. It doesn't work.
Having turned the cassette back on, he grabs Ray's wrists and forces her to sit down. Warrener has an occasional nervous tic. Ray's indignant blue eyes look up at Warrener, who stands staring down at her.
You know, I was watching you when you were sleeping. And I gotta tell you that your face fascinates me.
Ray gives him a sideways look, then averts her eyes.
Yeah, even when you're 80, Ray, you'll still be a beautiful woman.
He gives a white-toothed smile, then sits beside her.
I studied art for a time. And something I found is that painters, when they approach their subjects, they always look at the face from, like, behind, you know, from the back, like, to see what's holding it up. And you've got magnificent bone structure.
She shies away slightly as he reaches out to caress her cheek.
God, magnificent. Shit, that sounds like fucking something you'd say at a cocktail party. Should have given you my card, for Christ's sake. I just knew we'd get along, didn't you, Ray?
She runs below deck as he goes to change the music.
What's wrong?
Would you just tell me one thing?
Sure.
I just need to know if that boat is sinking.
Sinking? Well, past tense would do, but...
Oh, God.
But yes, it is. Why, don't you believe me?
Yeah, I believe you. Of course I do. That's why we've got to go back.
Back?
Uh-huh. To get John.
Why, you mean back there?
Yeah. Right now.
Uh-huh.
He blocks her way.
No, Ray, no. Okay, that's over. That's all over, so why don't we just erase start one from memory and start again, please? There's no going back, Ray.
No, don't say that. He's gonna drown, Huey.
Oh, now you're ruining it again.
That boat is sinking.
That's not my fault.
What about those people? Huh? There wasn't any food poisoning, was there?
Warrener turns and looks at her through narrowed eyes.
You want to do this now? All right. They tried to kill me, Ray. They tried to suck the light out of me, if you could possibly grasp that concept.
Who were?
All of them!
Look, nobody wants to kill you.
What? Repeat that!
I said nobody...
No, say the words, Ray, come on. You mean I just imagined it?
No.
No?
No. I just mean that it must be a mistake.
A mistake, lady! The mistake is that you think I'm making this up!
No, I don't.
You sound so much like them, Ray! It's scary! That they were trying to kill me, do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
He holds up a warning forefinger to her, then backs off and sits down on the galley table. Ray, a tall, slender woman, breathes heavily as she watches Warrener. He stares sulkily at the floor. She tries to walk past, but he lifts a leg to prevent her. Ray stops and stares at him uncertainly. Warrener, who's fiddling with Ben's tennis ball, meets her gaze, then lowers his leg. Ray walks on hesitantly. Ben watches and wags his tail. In her cabin, Ray shuts a hatch at the top of ladders, then flops on the double bed. She lies curled up, a small hammock of belongings above her. The Orpheus sits in sunny, calm waters. Below deck, the water has been pumped out. The boat rocks from side to side. A film starts up. The electricity fails again. John holds leads to contact points. He starts a generator. He enters the cabin with the film playing in it. A projector light strobes as he walks across the cabin.
Come on, turn around! Don't look at a bloody boat! Look at me!
Okay, I'm sorry! Bye!
What are you doing, Huey? Go away!
Ladies, forget
listen,
the
Listen, if you turn around, you can get these incredible silhouettes coming from between them.
When I want your advice on how to take photographs, young man, I'll ask you and tell them keep your bloody mouth shut.
I'll remember that, but for now, Russell, please, if you move 3 steps to your left, I can get you with the boat in between the three. We'll look at this someday and laugh, trust me. This is really good.
Sake, Huey! Get that bloody camera off me! I take the pictures, Huey, baby! You dance! Whoa. I shoot!
What the fuck is your problem?
Standing at the wheel, John engages a lever and the schooner's propeller turns beneath the water. He spins the wheel round to starboard. The compass point moves to the point he'd judged with his hand. John checks his watch. He makes a note on the pad on which he's plotting a course. The Orpheus slowly moves through the gently undulating water, towing the dinghy in its wake. On the Saracen, Ray peers out of a hatch at Ben sitting on the deck by the wheel. She ducks out of sight when Warriner jumps down and joins the dog. Warriner puts on a cassette tape.
It's a stereo, Ben.
He shows it Ben.
Low production. Garage music. That's what he says.
Checking Warriner's not watching, Ray runs to the control room. She turns on the radar.
Come on.
The radar starts working and shows a small square near its outer circle. Ray smiles to herself. On the screen it shows distance 42 miles, heading 220 degrees, object 280 degrees. Ray notes down the figures.
Saracen, this is Orpheus. Can you read me over?
Ray finishes noting down the figures and tears off the sheet of paper. She looks at the radio as it hisses.
Saracen, this is...
John tries various connections. Ray edges towards the handset.
John?
Yes.
John?
Are you okay?
Are you there?
Yes, Ray, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Are you there?
Ray, it's me.
I'm not reading you. Is that you, John?
He clicks his handset repeatedly and looks exasperated.
Are you hurt?
You told me you had no trouble.
What about the boat? It's sinking, isn't it? So that's it. No, you're not hurt, and no, the boat isn't sinking, is that right? Are you following? John, what should I do? Do you want me to stop the boat? Oh, I don't know how.
Come on.
Look, don't worry.
work it out.
He nods and clicks. Ray clicks on her handset.
You'll be here soon, won't you?
John clicks his handset. Ray clicks off her handset. The square flashes as the radar sensor passes over it. Looking forlorn, Ray switches off the radar. She stands in deep contemplation for a moment. Ben sits out on the deck watching Warrener. Ray moves stealthily through the galley towards the main deck hatch. She sees Warrener's legs dangling from where he's sitting and hurries off into the dark engine room. Ray turns on the light and fiddles with tubes on the engine. Steam burns her arm. Ray reaches for a part and removes it. Warrener, sitting astride the boom, becomes aware of the engine stopping. Below deck, he chases Ray, trying to get the part from her. He intercepts her. She drops the part in a slight struggle, but retrieves it, and the chase continues through the yacht. Ray's in the galley. Now on deck, Warrener stares down at Ray through windows above the galley. She returns his gaze and faints, running for it several times. Each time, he faints, chasing her. Finally, she runs, but hearing the direction of his footsteps, runs back in the opposite direction. She comes up on deck. Warrener's ahead of her at the prow of the boat. She holds up the part, which looks like a red plastic key on a wooden fob.
Oh. Score one for Mrs. Ingram. She has a hell of a season ahead of her.
She glares and hurls the part into the water.
Ben, no! No, Ben! Leave it! Just leave it there!
Fetch, Ben, come on, bring it here, boy.
All right, bring it here.
Hey, Ben.
Come on.
Right there.
Okay, drop it. Drop the key.
Hold the key, Ben.
No, drop it.
Leave it, boy.
Over here, then. Come on.
Hey, Ben.
Dread.
Baxter.
Come on, Ben. Come on.
Ah! Warrener pulls her head back by her hair.
Oh!
It's a beautiful bone structure there, right?
He rubs his stubbly chin on her forehead, kisses her forehead, then flings her aside. Ah!
Good boy.
He's a champ, this one.
Jump, Ben. Up. Come on, climb. Pose.
Ray recovers and runs off below deck. She locks herself in the bathroom while Warrener lifts Ben out of the water.
In here. Thank you.
Ben shakes himself dry, splattering Warrener. In the bathroom, Ray frantically searches the medicine cupboard, pulling things out. She stops when she hears Warrener marching along the corridor. He holds the key in his mouth. Hearing a noise, he pretends to run away, then stands outside the bathroom. Ray makes a noise as she hurriedly opens a cupboard beneath the bathroom sink. Warrener stops pounding on the door and stamping. He stands with his back against a wall of the narrow wood-panelled corridor. Ray opens up to his knock. His grim look betrays a faint smile, which she returns.
Friends?
Ray eyes him uncertainly, then nods and smiles.
Yeah. Friends.
He slides the door shut. Storm clouds gather over the Orpheus. A rope secures the schooner's wheel, holding it on its course. Below deck, Warren is on screen while John plots a course on a map.
Come talk to me.
Come on, simple man. Russell. Come on, the camera's rolling.
Forget the fucking vibe. Lose on. That. Talk
Your
to me,
turn.
Russell. Who are you?
Come on, drop the veil, drop the veil. Son,
I got the picture this time, Russell. I got the
come
picture.
On.
Vietnam. Cascada, Cambodia. Russell Bellows, big, brave war photographer, the man on the edge capturing the face of death, but now appearing with his five new neo-refugees.
Yes, that's right.
Suckers on a sinking boat. The ultimate session of moral decay, what 60-minute wet dreams are made of, am I right? Come on in, cross the waters, great.
You got the bloated head.
How about the bloated belly?
Water begins to pour back into the Orpheus. John goes into the pump room. The boat rocks as he wades through the water, which is ankle deep again. John stares down into the schooner's watery hold. John swims through the hold, lighting his way with a torch. He stabs at the boat's timbers with a knife and pulls himself along. John stops when he sees a man's body before him. It's Russ. John, who's wearing a diving mask, gapes. He surfaces from the hold. The now stormy sea tosses the boat. On the radio set...
John
hears and heads towards the radio. The water is rising in the schooner.
Saracen, the black skulls are coming, please.
John wades over to the radio.
It's coming, please.
He picks up the handset and clicks once.
John. John, it's me. I got the key up onto the deck, but he...
John clicks repeatedly.
What's wrong? Are you hurt? Is it the boat? John, is it sinking? Okay. How long?
Hours. How many, two? John, six.
I find you on your phone, Russell.
John.
The film draws his attention.
Six. Okay. I'm going to be there by sunset.
John gazes at the film as it plays, then it stops. Ray waits tensely, then clicks.
John, I love you.
She clicks off and watches the radar screen as she waits.
John?
She clicks on again, then off.
John!
She clicks on and off again.
John, answer me, please answer me.
She turns up the volume and adjusts the squelch control.
John, do you read me? John, please.
She switches off and rests her head between her hands. Ray covers her face with her hands as she weeps. Ray stands and tries to compose herself. Warriner, the orange cloth wrapped around him like a cloak, stands at the prow of the yacht. There are still sunny skies above and the blue water glints. He turns slowly to look back down the yacht's deck. Ray stands tearfully below deck. Warriner descends and stands in the doorway, staring at her. Ray turns away. He walks a little way towards her, stops, and looks awkward. He walks up to her slowly and faces her. Warriner slowly raises a hand to a lock of her hair, then gently caresses her cheeks with both hands. Ray, her eyes lowered, chews on her thumbnail. Warriner holds her hand between his. He stares softly into her eyes, then brings her hand to his lips. Now, with his eyes closed, he tenderly kisses her fingers. Ray looks surprised as he places her hands about his neck and slowly moves in to hug her. Ray puts her arms about him. Ben watches with bright round eyes and his head cocked. Ray's chin rests on Warriner's shoulder and her expression hardens. She tosses her head very faintly as if preparing herself and they slowly move into a kiss. Ray draws back slightly, and they hold each other's gaze. Warriner touches her lips with a finger, then slowly and lightly with one hand caresses her neck and runs his fingers down her chest. He feels her breast, then lowers his hand to hers and grips it. Warriner leads her into her cabin, and they fall on the floor together. Warriner, who lies naked beneath Ray, hurriedly pulls off her top, leaving only her shorts, which he rips off. She writhes on top of him.
Oh, I've just got to go to the bathroom.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
He glances at her as she dons a short robe and heads out. Warriner lies on his back and looks pensive. The yacht rocks gently. Ray runs up on deck to the gun cupboard. She takes out the gun, which is in its component parts, and starts to assemble it. Warriner gets up suddenly. A rear image of naked Warriner stepping through a doorway. Ben watches Ray.
Hello? Ray?
She puts down the gun, grabs a packet of cigarettes nearby and goes below.
For later.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you read my mind.
She shows him the cigarettes, kisses him and with a sultry look walks away. Warriner follows slightly hesitantly. Ben jumps up to the gun, which is on top of the hatch. Back in the cabin, Warriner and Ray are starting to make out again.
Friends, Ray.
He pushes her back onto the bed and lies on top of her. Ben opens their cabin door and stands staring at them.
I better put him up on the deck.
Get out of here.
No, I better put him up.
Shh, come on. Ben, go away.
Ben goes but returns briefly. Ben goes again. Warrener kisses and nuzzles Ray, who winces as he buries his face against her cheek. She grimaces as he thrusts. John wades through the water below deck in the Orpheus. It's now up to his crotch. He carries a large coil of rope over his shoulder and pushes a crate full of items which has floats strapped to it to keep it buoyant. He picks up a heavy metal arm of a figurine which has broken off and puts it in his crate. He then moves on. He pushes the floating crate aside, throws the rope onto it, and moves on through the metal door into the pump room. Holding a torch, John surveys the room where an upright oil drum floats. He picks up a hurricane lamp and puts it on the oil drum. Lightning rips through the schooner's rigging. The lightning brings down a mast which crashes through the deck and lands in front of the metal door. John tries to go back through the door, but the mast has jammed it. John bashes the door and manages to get his fingers round the edge of it, but it won't budge. He then tries shouldering it. Still, it won't move. He grabs his torch and shines it about. He moves through the area, shining his beam in all directions, looking for an exit point. John wades over to another door, checks it, then puts down his torch. Holding a handle at the side of the door and a beam above him, he rams against the door with his back. The door doesn't budge. The Saracen bobs about beneath increasingly cloudy skies. Below deck, Ray sits glumly on the bed. Wearing her short robe, she gets up.
Where are you going?
To get a drink.
Warrener's dressing. Ray goes into the galley and is about to head out, but hurries back when she hears Warrener coming from the direction she's heading. She quickly reaches for lemons, then a knife, but Warrener reaches it first, then stands behind her. He puts his arms around her and cuts a lemon.
Isn't this great?
What?
These lemons, they're just cruising around the South Pacific, just the two of us.
Yep.
Yep.
He kisses her cheek and she moves away.
How do I look?
Great.
How do I smell?
Thank you for your honesty.
He's wearing a jumper and white trousers. He goes to the bathroom. Ray eyes the knife she's holding.
No. What's missing from my life at this moment? The soothing sounds of Leo Iglesias, the Joni Mitchell, the Broadway album. What, Ray? Did you get these tapes thrown in free with the knives? He finds it, yes.
Having returned from the bathroom, he selects a tape. Ray's spotted her sedatives on a galley shelf. Warrener heads back into the bathroom. Ray grabs her sedatives and tips a load into her hand. She hurriedly breaks the capsules into a glass of water she poured earlier. Warrener fixes his hair in the bathroom mirror. Ray pours squeezed lemon juice into the water. She puts in a spoonful of sugar, stirs the drink, then gets ice from the fridge and puts that in. She swishes it around. Warren returns. She pretends to sip the drink.
Looks good.
Oh. Mm, it is.
Mm.
Do you want some?
No.
Oh, come on.
Mm-mm.
You do. Come on, have it.
Yeah, now look.
Do you want it?
I want. Thank you.
He takes a drink. She gives him a weak smile.
I better go and get dressed. Okay, good. Make me another one.
He swigs back more of the drink, holds it in his mouth, puffs out his cheeks, considers, then swallows. He drains the glass, frowns a little, then swallows. Lightning flashes around the Saracen. Ray comes up on deck and runs to get the gun off the top of the hatch. She puts the gun and cartridges down at the top of the steps leading to her bedroom below and begins to descend.
Room service.
Ray leaves the gun and cartridges at the top of the steps and comes down below as Warriner greets her with a drink. He looks wary.
There's a squall coming. We better get the canopy down.
Okay.
He takes the drink back into the galley. The door closes behind him. Ray scrabbles to get the gun and cartridges. Ray prepares the gun. Warren is up on deck. He battles against the wind to light a cigarette. Ray takes cartridges out of a box. Warren starts to lower the canopy. Ray loads the gun. On board the Orpheus, John bashes at the deck above with a metal pipe to try and break through it. He doesn't succeed and stops. John looks about him in the shadowy light. His eyes are wide and staring. Warriner brings the canopy below deck and sits down on the steps, looking exhausted.
Oh, shit.
Ray rushes along, holding the shotgun, and meets Warriner, who grabs the barrels.
What?
The yacht rolls in the storm. Ray and Warriner fall as they struggle for possession of the shotgun.
Let go!
They both hold on to the gun and Warriner tosses her over a galley worktop, then slams her against a cupboard as he tries to wrest the gun from her. The shot blows out the radio and radar. Warriner hurls Ray across the room and gets possession of the gun. He aims it at her and laughs. His face twitches. She takes cover behind a wooden chair. Warriner blinks and looks drowsy. He struggles to keep his balance as the yacht is tossed about on the waves. He starts to laugh. He begins to have double vision. He fiddles with the trigger. The gun goes off unexpectedly. Ray scrabbles out from cover and he swings the gun butt at her and misses. The yacht rears up in the water, throwing them both. As the yacht seesaws, belongings tumble from shelves and cupboards. A harpoon gun falls in front of Ray. She runs away with it, but Warriner chases her. She whacks him with the harpoon gun, then locks herself in her bedroom. He tries to pound through her bedroom door. She fires the harpoon. She loads another harpoon into the gun. Ray stares at the door, waiting tensely. As the door handle turns, Ray fires the harpoon into the wood near the handle. Blood starts to gush through the gap around the embedded harpoon. Ray slowly approaches the door, slides the bolt back, and pushes open the door. The door swings right back. A door to the side swings shut. Another ahead swings to and fro. Sweating and breathing heavily, Ray edges along the narrow corridor. Warrener leaps out and grabs her by the throat. He shakes and grimaces as he applies pressure. She spits at him, and he increases his effort. Warrener's eyes roll. He releases his grip and slumps forward. John is trying to pump water out of the Orpheus. The water is at chest height and he looks weary. On board the Saracen, Ray is on deck nailing down the windows. She looks through one at Warrener lying in a fetal position on the floor below, his bound wrists attached by rope to his bound ankles. She tries to start the yacht's engine, then notices the fuel gauge is on zero. Ray sighs and looks about forlornly. The storm has calmed slightly, but the sea is choppy and there's a wind. Ray attaches a handle to a winch and winches up the sails. Ray turns the handle energetically in desperation to get the sails up. She pauses, closes her eyes, then resumes turning the winch. Holding onto a rope with one hand to control the sails, she struggles to turn the wheel with her free hand. The elegant Saracen forges through the water, spray fountaining up from its prow as the yacht seesaws in the grey-blue sea. Ray winds a winch on the starboard side of the yacht to tighten the sails. She secures the rope and returns to the wheel. The Saracen moves gracefully across the choppy ocean. Ray, wearing a white waterproof jacket, wipes spray from her face as it lashes across the yacht. Ray's eyes search the ocean keenly for signs of the Orpheus. On board the Orpheus, John is up to his chin in water but continues pumping. The water is only inches from the deck above John, whose head is barely above water. The Saracen forges on. Ray looks through the binoculars. She lowers the binoculars and stares out to sea. Below deck, Warrener opens his eyes. He tries to sit up and looks at the ropes binding him. Ray stands on the prow of the yacht like a figurehead. A padlocked hatch is battered from below deck. Now totally submerged, John bangs the hatch above him. A pipe he's holding onto fractures. He puts his lips round one end of the pipe and blows into it. Crustacea are blown out of a pipe on deck. They scuttle away. John breathes through the pipe. Again, he bashes at the hatch above him, holding the pipe to his mouth. On the Saracen, Ray stands on a spar, looking out over the sea. Below deck, Warrener rocks back and forth on his back, trying to batter open a door with his feet. He breaks through. He sits up and smiles, then frowns when he sees another closed door ahead of him. The Orpheus sits in calm water. The sky is blue. Still trapped in the pump room, John breathes through the pipe. A fish swims past him. He takes a few deep breaths and swims down into the schooner's hold. He kicks through timber and surfaces beside the Orpheus. The sun is setting. The Saracen's sails are silhouetted against the pinky gold horizon. Ray's eyes search the darkening ocean around the yacht. John, on a makeshift raft, empties a jerry can of petrol into the water around the Orpheus. He throws the can away, then takes a lit hurricane lamp. He stands and hurls the lamp at the Orpheus. John smiles as the schooner bursts into bright yellow flames. Ray stands on the Saracen's deck. Her eyes continue to sweep over the ocean. She suddenly focuses on something, a bright orangey-yellow light in the distance. She looks through her binoculars. Ray lowers the binoculars, then runs to turn on the Saracen's mast lights, which glow white in the dying sunset. Ray returns to the wheel and turns it in the direction of the fire. Warrener rubs the ropes binding his wrists vigorously against a shard of broken glass. His hands and arms are covered in blood. John stands on his raft watching the Orpheus burn. The blazing wreck slowly begins to sink. Ray watches the flames die out on the horizon. Warrener, free of his bindings, bursts through a door below deck head first. He looks about him, goes to find a fire extinguisher, and charges at a locked door with it. Ray hears the noise. The wooden door splinters and Warrener breaks through it. He crawls through the gap he's made towards the hatch.
Don't make me.
What's gonna make you?
Stay there!
I just wanna talk!
She stands at the top of the steps, holding the loaded harpoon gun. She lets off a shot which hits him in the shoulder, then reloads the gun. Grimacing with pain, he staggers towards her. Ray cocks the gun. Warriner positions himself so that the harpoon is digging into his throat. Blood trickles down his face, which is beaded with sweat. He stares at Ray and smiles. She returns his gaze stonily. Ray whacks him in the face with the harpoon gun, rams him in the crotch with it, then slams it down over his head. He drops. Ray flings a life raft overboard. It inflates. She drags it back towards her on a rope and rounds off, erecting the tent-like structure, which she dumps back into the water. Ray struggles to roll the bloodied and semi-conscious Warriner off the yacht and onto the raft. He crushes the tent-like structure as he lands, spread-eagled on his back. Ray unties the mooring rope and sets the raft adrift. Ray stands at the prow of the Saracen as it glides through the night. She fires up a flare. The white light hangs in the night sky, then turns pink as it drifts down towards the water, illuminating an object on the surface. Ray peers out towards the object. John's raft bobs gently in the water. Ray looks out towards it with anxious eyes, then turns away and hurries along the Saracen's deck. Ray switches on a powerful searchlight and trains the beam on the raft. The light falls on John, who lies curled up on the raft, his eyes closed. The beam stirs him. He looks up into the bright light and narrows his eyes against the glare. He raises himself a little and shields his eyes with his hand as he looks towards the Saracen. He sits up and gapes. Ray sees him and gives a relieved smile. She turns the wheel slightly, then hurriedly puts down the searchlight she's holding. John kneels on the raft as the Saracen cuts through the water towards him, with Ray leaning over the side, her hand outstretched. John puts out a hand to catch hers as the yacht nears him. John grabs her hand and jumps from the raft. He drops into the water but hangs on to Ray and manages to scramble up to grasp a rail at the edge of the boat. Ray heaves him further up out of the water, using both hands, and finally hauls him on board. The pair flop down onto the deck, smiling at each other and breathing heavily. Ray cups John's cheek in her hand and stares intensely at him, her lips mouthing words. He grins at Ray, whose eyes continue to explore his features. She holds him to her and his face crumples as they hug tightly. They part a little and John holds her face between his hands. The screen goes black. Day. The Saracen approaches a raft. John and Ray are on the yacht deck. John, looking tense, holds a boat hook out to pull the raft in as they come alongside it. The raft is upside down in the water and appears empty. John's eyes search about ahead of him. Ray stares down gravely at the raft. There's a noise, and there appears to be movement beneath the material of the raft's base. Ray hurriedly gets a flare. She fires it at the raft, puncturing it. The raft deflates. Ray fires another flare. The crumpled raft goes up in flames. The Saracen drifts slowly away from the burning remains of the raft. Ray and John's eyes are fixed on the raft as they move further away from it. Behind John and Ray, on the other side of the yacht, a red rope dangles overboard and trails in the water. There are bloodstains on the white hull of the boat. The screen goes black. Ray dives off the side of the yacht. She treads the water, floats on her back, then swims the crawl lazily. John comes out onto the Saracen's deck. He's carrying a folded dark blue towel over his shoulder and a bucket in one hand. He goes to Ray, sitting at the prow of the boat, and starts to wash her hair, scooping up water from the bucket with a pan.
Fresh water. It's extravagant.
Now, you want to hear extravagant?
Yeah.
Steaming hot bath that you can slip into up to your ears with coffee and a croissant.
A croissant?
Covered in bitter, dark marmalade.
Oh, a mango. Really, really cold.
Now you're talking.
He stops shampooing her hair and goes below deck to attend to the kettle. Ray tilts her face towards the sun and closes her eyes. Ray stretches out in the bright sunshine, which glints off the clear green water in patches of silver. Ray remains with her head tilted back and her eyes closed. Bloody hands massage her shampoo-covered head.
Mm. You know what I'd love for lunch? Fresh asparagus. Then, pasta. Angel-haired pasta. With heaps of basil, garlic, olive oil, and apple pie. Yeah. John, we got the towel.
She reached for John's hands and realized it was Warrener. He whacks her, then clamps his hand over her mouth. John carries a breakfast tray up onto deck. He drops the tray when he sees the silhouettes of Warrener and Ray struggling behind a sail. John fires a flare at Warrener. It tears through the sail and hits him. With the glowing flare embedded in his mouth, Warrener falls backwards into the water and floats spread-eagled on his face. Smoke from the flare emanates from his head. Ray and John hug and stand looking out at Warrener. ITFC audio description.